You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to our SmartCast Micro Learning Podcast series titled Tackling Barriers to Care in Ophthalmology, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion in Academics, Research, and Clinical Practice. This series is hosted by Dr. Judy Kim, a professor of ophthalmology and visual sciences and vitreoretinal specialist at the Eye Institute of the Medical College of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Let's get started with today's episode.
Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Dr. Judy Kim, a retina specialist, and I will be the host of today's podcast with the topic of Women in Retina, Why a Practice Should Hire Female Retina Specialist. In this session, we will cover some barriers to gender equality in eye care workforce, strategies to increase gender equality in eye care workforce, and how increasing diversity in the eye care workforce can improve quality of care. Joining me today is Dr. Gita Lalwani. Dr. Lalwani is a vitreoretinal specialist at Rocky Mountain Retina Associates in Denver, Colorado. She has the fortune of being able to practice near wonderful ski resorts, and I have had the pleasure of working with her on Envision Summit, which is a meeting geared for female ophthalmologists. Gita, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so honored to be here.
I'm so glad you could join us, and we'll talk about this topic of women in retina, which I know you're very passionate about, and we've spoken about it before, and that's why I'm so glad to have you as a guest today. According to the most recent American Academy of Ophthalmology membership poll, only about a quarter of AAO members are women, and on top of that, only about 20% of retinal specialists are women. You know, what do you think are some barriers, and why are there so few female ophthalmologists and in particular retina specialists currently?
Sure. So, you know, historically, retina has been one of the more difficult fields to be in. You know, prior to, let's say, roughly the early 2000s, this field tended to have very unpredictable hours. The cases tended to be very long, and often very emergent. And so those were factors that were not conducive to many women who tend to be primary caregivers entering this field. I would equate it, you know, perhaps to trauma surgeons or cardiovascular surgeons. However, a lot has changed, you know, in 20 years. It's phenomenal to me. And I think, Judy, but you're like me, is that when I did my residency, I was still operating 20 gauge surgery, and intravitreal injections did not exist. You know, I entered my fellowship in 2005, which was sort of the first year that we had access to any type of intravitreal injections. And shortly thereafter, we started operating with small gauge surgeries. Those two specific technology changes, I think, have radically changed the field of retina. So now a lot of our surgeries tend to be much shorter. We have, a different understanding of pathologies. And so there tend not to be as many emergent cases. And because of pharmacotherapeutics, most of retina care is actually now done in office during regular business hours, making the field much more accessible to primary caregivers, which tend to be women. So, the numbers that you quoted recently are low. However, those numbers are changing quite phenomenally. I want to say in the year that I finished my fellowship, roughly 5 to 7% of graduating fellows were women. And now I believe in 2019 or 20, the graduating class of retina fellows is almost 30% women. That's a very short time to almost triple, quadruple the number of women entering the field. However, the numbers of practicing retina specialists are still low. And moreover, the number of practicing retina specialists at higher levels, both in academics and private practice, are still very low. Women such as yourself are leaders in this world to change it, but those numbers are still, you know, not where they ought to be in comparison to the number of women entering the field. So I think to go further, you know, as time goes on, we need more leadership. We need more women in powers, in positions of power to serve not only as role models for women who should go into retina, but for those of us in retina, they should serve as role models of what can be achieved in it. So kudos to you for demonstrating that phenomenally well.
Well, I don't know about kudos to me, but we all stand on shoulders of other giants who came before us and, you know, other women who came before us when things were even harder than now.
Yes.
You know, I give kudos to them.
Yes.
And I think, you know, having conversations like this is also helpful, because if we don't identify a problem and talk about the issue, then we cannot solve the problem. And you talked about leadership, but I think it's really important for people in leadership, whether it's a man or a woman, to think about it and have the intentionality to change. I think that's really important. But, you know, it's funny you talked about the how retina has changed. I remember when I was trying to decide which specialty to go into, I thought cornea would be best because, you know, cornea has predictable hours usually, unless you're on call, but the call is not that busy or not that often. Whereas retina specialists, you know, we're on call very often. There aren't many of us. So being on call often and the emergencies, having to take out intraocular photon bodies in the middle of the night or macula on retinal detachments, you know, your life, you can't plan. Those two things were really difficult. And third was I already had a child. And, you know, our training time coincides with us women starting a family or raising a young family. Don't you think that's really difficult? I know you have lovely children as well. How does it affect you?
It's very hard. So I had my twins in my second year of residency. It's the same experience we all have, especially in residency. So one, our program, while supportive as they could be, did not have a definitive strategy for pregnancy on how to deal with it. It was sort of ad lib. And, you know, like many women, I front loaded all my call because I didn't want to let my co-residents down. And there was a lot of pressure to get back to work. I mean, I had twins and I went back 6 weeks to the day to be a resident again. I didn't miss a single day of call that I was supposed to take. And you make it work like women do. Dr. Tayyiba Ali actually wrote in a very recent article in the past few days specifically about this topic, that women are not supported specifically in pregnancy. And some of her stories regarding that, I can completely relate to. Unfortunately, it makes me sad because she came considerably later than I did and still is having the same stories, and where women are put in a position to either choose between their career or being a mom or perhaps a different kind of mom, and feel the burden of that guilt and everything that goes with it. And women rise to the occasion continuously. I mean, over and over and over again, women rise to the occasion to do things better and better and better. And I think we are at a point where women can't do much more to be better than they are. And it's time that society around them steps up and says, this is, what is the word I'm looking for? This is not, neither, should not either be required nor a sustainable situation for the benefit of society. We can talk about this probably in a few minutes, but there are a lot of benefits to women being physicians. Help us be physicians.
Yeah, so helping our trainees during pregnancy issues is definitely one topic that they can work on. But as you said, yeah, why is it important to have female retina specialists? Is there any evidence that there's a better patient outcome? Or, I mean, why should we have female retina specialists?
So when I saw this question, I was like, well, why shouldn't we? Over 50% of our patient population are women. There is well-documented evidence that when you can relate to your physician, that there are better outcomes. But there are now some really large studies that have shown that when female surgeons provide care to women, there are better outcomes for those women as opposed to men taking care of women. There are other studies that show amongst internists that when women take care of patients, they have a lower death rate as well as a reduced readmission rate. Women physicians are excellent. You know, why shouldn't we want excellent people to be physicians just because they happen to be women? I think, to go back to your point about pregnancy, when we all come out, we are all, you know, especially out of retina fellowships, we tend to be in our early to mid 30s, which coincide with our childbearing years. And there is a lot of pressure, even though that, you know, that age has moved up. And so you move into the beginning of your career and you're trying to have kids at the beginning of your career. I had another experience where I entered into private practice and subsequently had a baby, and it was not supportive at all. And I think the worry is that there is a loss of productivity amongst female retina specialists, right? And we need to acknowledge that, yes, there is going to be a very temporary loss of productivity amongst women when they get pregnant. However, if you look at the span of a career, it's a drop in a bucket of time. Moreover, if you look at statistics that say women tend to have these or often have these better outcomes over the span of 15 to 20 years, your career, that has an incredible repercussion rate on your patient's quality of care.
Yeah, it's really interesting, Gita, because I've also heard that women physicians talk more and longer to the patients, and therefore the adherence to follow-up or treatments are higher. And I've also had personal experience of referring doctors refer specifically certain patients to me because they say, she will talk to you.
Yeah, I agree with you. So I think about women retina specialists specifically is who, at least in the private practice world, perhaps more than in academics, who are your referring doctors? They tend to be optometrists. Optometrists have a significant majority of female practitioners. It is an incredible, easy way to relate to your referring doctor. I've started my own practice, and so I have had a different vantage point of this whole private practice world and understanding that the referring doctor is king here. They is what determines your ability to have a thriving practice. And so therefore, if your referring doctors can relate to you better because you are the same gender as them, I mean, women retina specialists should be in demand. This is a fact.
So that's another factor that practices that are employing new doctors should think about, right? What can employers or even the society do to improve gender equality in employment with regards to hiring and retention?
Sure. So, obviously we talked about support during pregnancy, which tends to coincide with, you know, early career, but I would imagine that it's similar to committees. You know, when you look at the various different academic societies, when you have a woman in the meeting planning committee, you now subsequently had more women presenters, more women moderators, more women panelists. There is a trickle-down effect that has a significant impact. In an employment situation, when you have a female physician, you know, 90% on average of our staff are women. You know, your support staff, your technicians, your front office, women relate to women differently because they have very similar backgrounds, if nothing else. You know, I don't want to lump all women as caregivers, but most women have some sort of primary caregiver role that is different than most men, whether it's for their own children or for parents or what have you, and your ability to interact with staff, simply staff, is very different. You know, I think practices operate differently when you have women on board. Moreover, you serve as a role model. You serve as a role model for these often very young women who serve as technicians. You know, I've been lucky enough in my practice to see this happen. I have numerous medical students that have come through, and I've had three now go towards ophthalmology. And, you know, I'm not there yet, but one of those three is now in retina and the two are on their way. You make an impact, not only as a role model, but really as what can be achieved. So it's a waterfall effect that starts with a small trickle and eventually will be a watershed effect on what it creates downstream.
Yeah, those are other assets of having a female retina specialist. Well, finally, Gita, do you have any advice to female fellows who are looking for a job? Is there anything specific or special that she should be looking for because she's a woman?
When you start to look for a practice, you want to look first for the general fit of what you think you want to do as a career. Do you want to focus more on academics? Do you want to be in a private practice setting? Do you want clinical trials available? Do you want more research available? Do you want a large practice, a small practice, et cetera, et cetera? Obviously, geographic locations matter a lot. You know, whatever you can do to make yourself happy, especially, as I would say, in your non-clinical life, in your non-work life, is very important. And then you really want to look for female mentors. And this doesn't necessarily mean, you know, a woman who to support you, but often women are very supportive of each other, and sometimes they're not. Often men can be very supportive. And I think that it's important that you look at that. That allows you to have growth and trajectory as you take on a job as one of the new hires. I think it's also very important that you ask the tough questions regarding pregnancy. And it may not matter if you think that you don't want children at that time or never. I think that attitudes change enough and choices change that it's important that you at least have that information. And really, it's almost like a screening question. You want to know what kind of practice you're getting into. Do they have a pregnancy plan, or are they willing to accept one? And if they're not, I would caution most people against any kind of practice that has that situation. We have all heard of the horror stories that come in private practice or in academics, quite frankly, where, you know, when you go on maternity leave, you're required to return overhead or what have you. So I think it's important to know those things ahead of time. And then really, once you start in practice, it is important for you to be a mentor or supportive of other women coming up. And it may not necessarily only be women that are coming in as physicians, but everybody in the practice. I think that you have the ability to lift everyone around you. And by doing so, you raise yourself in the eyes of everyone.
Great. Well, the thing that I get out of this is that it is good for the practice to hire a female retina specialist. It's good for the patients to see a female retina specialist as well. So thank you so much, Gita, for being with us here today. With more and more women entering the medical field, with over 50% now being female, we can continue to work on improving gender diversity at our workforce. We appreciate the time, Gita, you took to discuss these issues with us today. Thanks, and thanks everyone for listening today. Thanks, Gita.
Thank you for listening. Please join us again soon for another episode in this series discussing strategies to optimize diversity and inclusion in eye care. This podcast was brought to you by MedLearning Group. MedLearning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide continuing medical education for physicians. This CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. And a special thank you to our grant supporter, Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, Inc., who provided an independent medical education grant for this activity.